Donlin Gold is pretty happy to finally have these permits in hand. They are among the last of the major state permits that Donlin needs before they can start building its gold mine. The mine could be one of the biggest in the world, built in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Donlin Gold spokesman Kurt Parkin says they expect to get more big permits this year.
We expect to get the right-of-ways and the land use permits.
Meanwhile, a Montana-based nonprofit group has some concerns about how Donlin is designing its mine site.
I do have some concerns that the state hasn't looked as deeply into those as they could have.
That's Kendra Zamzo. She works for the Center for Science and Public Participation, which helps communities who have a voice in the mine permitting. As part of her job, Zamzo helped the tribe of Tsleil-Waututh throughout the lengthy federal environmental review for the Donlin mine that wrapped up last year. The nonprofit isn't for or against the Donlin Gold Mine, and they say that overall, Donlin has done a pretty good job designing the mine. But they've also submitted comments critiquing some of Donlin's proposals throughout the permitting process, including the recently issued state permits. The two state permits deal with waste management, how Donlin plans to tackle waste rock, tailings, and waste from its mining operations, along with reclamation and financial bonding. Financial bonding is the money Donlin will pay upfront for reclamation and water treatment. Zamzo says her criticism focuses on Donlin's plans to deal with its tailings. Donlin plans to store its tailings in a facility behind a dam while the mine is running, and then once it closes, Donlin will let the tailings dry out and then cover them with rocks and vegetation. But they won't be completely dry. Zamzo says there are safer but more expensive methods that she felt the state didn't consider, like using a method that would siphon the water out from the waste completely before storing it.
I felt like that could have been explored a little better, if not in the EIS, then by the state.
Money is another concern for the nonprofit. Donlin had proposed $317 million to pay for cleanup and treating the contaminated water at the site after it shuts down. After public comment, the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, or DNR, raised the amount to $322 million to maintain an access road to the mine. Dave Chambers is a colleague of Zamzo's, and he says the money that Donlin has to pay for cleanup isn't enough because the state and Donlin didn't budget enough for indirect costs.
What, in your estimation, would have been a reasonable cost estimate?
Probably another 15% added on to what those costs that they assessed, which was $320-some million. So that's another, you know, $35, $40 million.
Donlin's Parkin defended the amount they will pay and added that the state raised the amount of money in response to the nonprofit's concerns.
This was the amount that they all agreed was adequate to cover. And it's going to be reviewed periodically anyway, the amount, so it can be adjusted at any point in time. This is not a fixed number that can't change.
Meanwhile, DNR opened public comment on some of the company's infrastructure plans and proposal to lease a right-of-way for its 315-mile gas pipeline from Cook Inlet to its mine site. The next big milestone after those permits, Parkin says, is its dam safety certification. That can take as long as 2 years, and Donlin still has about 100 permits to get before it can start operating. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.